Okay, today is February 23rd, 2009. Okay, tonight's shiur is about a question that David Weiser presented to me, and that was whether if a somebody's coming. Okay, so the David Weiser told us he's not going to be here tonight, and Izzy Rifkin's not here tonight. But I'm sure they're listening out to the shiur on the tape, so we say hi to them. Okay. So the question that David posed to me was, there is a halacha that a person, if he has an opportunity to purchase something, and he has a choice between a Jewish vendor and a non-Jewish vendor, he's supposed to go with the Jewish vendor. And the question was, at what cost and what expense? If there's a significant difference in price, is that the case? Also, if there's a greater tircha involved to patronize the Jewish vendor, let's say you're in Stop and Shop, and you could do one-stop shopping, and in order to patronize the Jewish store, you have to make an extra trip. Are you required to do so? So that's the question on the table. In preparing these types of shiurim, I have an advantage that the svarim the sources I gathered here didn't have the same advantage that I have, in that there's so many resources available today to find things. You have many svarim that are that focus on specific topics, and they are malakeh together all the different sources, and then you could do internet searches, and I do a lot of Google searches. Just type in a topic and you find things. You could Google in English, you could Google in Hebrew, and then I have access to the Bar Ilan program. So I did a search on the Bar Ilan program, which has a few hundred tshuva svarim, and I was able to find more material on the topic. So you'll see it's interesting that some of this, the material that's available, not all the sources were aware of some of the other things that were written on the topic. So the starting point is the pasuk in Chumash, that on the set of papers that is the Shaul Tshuvas HaRamah, on the side of the front page, which I did to conserve paper, the pasuk says in pasuk Yedad, v'chisim kruvim kol amisecha al kano miyad amisecha al tano ish esachiv. When you purchase or sell, you're not allowed to engage in onah, which is overcharging or undercharging. So Rashi says, v'chisim kruv l'fi pshuta kemashmo v'ol yesh drasha minayin kishata mocher mechor l'yisrael chavarecha. When you sell something, if you have a choice between selling to a Jew or a non-Jew, how do we know you're supposed to sell to the Jew? When you sell tamisecha. When you buy, the Torah says, you should purchase it from a Jew. This Rashi is a Torah's Kohanim, so it's a Medrash Halacha. And so therefore, if you a simple reading of Rashi seems to say that you're required to purchase from a Jewish vendor. When you have the choice of buying from a Jewish vendor or a non-Jewish vendor, you should buy from the Jewish vendor. So the question still remains, though, at what expense is that the case? So the if you turn to page 3, the Tshuvas HaRamah that we were learning last week is the primary source for all discussion after the Ramah emanates from points made by the Ramah. If you recall, the Ramah was discussing the following issue. The Maram Mipadov printed a version of Rambam, and there was a non-Jew who originally wanted to be partners with the Maram Mipadov, a non-Jewish printer, and instead he went to a different printer. And the printer who was rejected, in order to take revenge, went and printed his own version of the Rambam. And the question was, should people patronize the non-Jewish merchant, or should they only buy Rambams from the Rami Padiv? And the Ramah comes out very strongly that you have to buy the Rambams from the Rami Padiv. And the reason what he developed was, we saw last week, was that Torah law applies to a non-Jewish, the civil Torah law applies to a non-Jew. And therefore, since there's an issue here, for example, of, there's an issue of Masigvul, so because the Rami Padiv published it first, so therefore you're not allowed to patronize the non-Jew. So the Ramah has four reasons why he says it's more appropriate to patronize the Rami Padiv. But on the third page here, you have Hayisoid Hagadol Hashlishi, the third great principle, why you should purchase, if you have a choice to buy a Rambam from the Jew, from Rami Padiv, or the non-Jew, you should buy it from the Jews, from Rami Padiv. Why? Hinehu b'medrash, Torah Skan and Parshas Bahar, v'chisimku v'mim kalam yisachol, kano lam de Torah, he quotes the pasuk that we just saw, lam de Torah, d'imbasa luchnos k'nei mi'anam yisachol, v'chein l'mechira. From here we derive that if you purchase, you should purchase from a Jewish source. Hine hu behedrim beforish, afil lo haya gon hana, rak echem ibnei amei aretz. Even if the Rami Padiv was not a Talmud Nuris, before he said that if you have a choice between buying from a Talmud Chacham and Am Aretz, you should buy from a Talmud Chacham. Now he's saying, even if the Rami Padiv is Am Aretz, zocha bedin, v'adinim al koshkei v'kavu chomer atam. Then, even if it was an Amaretz, you'd have to buy from him first because of Masig Vul. But certainly, in such a situation where his competitor is a non-Jew, you should buy from the Jewish source. So here we come to our Shiloh, to David's question. Maybe you'll say that this halacha only applies where it's the same price. But if you have a choice between going to the Jewish bakery where you're going to buy a challah for $1.50 a challah, and then you can go to the supermarket and buy a challah for $1 a challah, so maybe you'll say in such a case you have to buy. That doesn't happen, huh? Maybe in such a case, I just wanted to, you know, maybe in such a case, maybe there the halacha doesn't apply. So he says, "Hine dvarim eil gam kein hevel hema." He uses rather strong language to dismiss it. It's hevel. It's ridiculous to say that. Tohagar sinim perakei zeneshach tani Rav Yosef in kesef talves ami v'kusi ami kodim. If you have money to lend. So, and you have a choice between lending it to a Jew and a non-Jew, you're supposed to lend it to the Jew. Ani v'asher, ani kaidim. If there are two people that need money, a rich man needs it for investment, and a poor person needs to borrow money, the poor person comes first. Upar b'gemara, ani, ami v'kusi, ami kaidim shita. It's avi, it's self-evident that you should do the chesed with the Jew. Why do you need a pasuk? Mishan emar av nachman, emar av huna, even though you have an opportunity to make money by lending to the non-Jew, and the language of the Gemara is, it implies that there's actually a mitzvah to lend to a non-Jew with ribbis. That's the Shemachos Shalom Rishonim. But even though you have an opportunity to, if you lend to the non-Jew, you're lending $10,000. If you lend to the non-Jew, you'll make $300 in ribbis. If you lend to the Jew, you'll make, so there's a loss. So you see that even though there's a loss, we say that you're obligated to deal with the Jew. So certainly over here, where, as he said before, there's an issue of Masig Vul, certainly, even if the non-Jewish printers' Rambams are cheaper and sold at a discount, still you'd have to buy it from the Jew. So he says, "Vang over the Dafka Hassam." He says, "Maybe it's not a good riot." He brought a riot from there that even if there's a difference in cost, you should buy from the non-Jew. So he says, from the Jew. And he says, "Maybe it's not a riot." The Dafka Hassam, Shena Mafsi Mishalo, El Shena Marviach. Maybe there's no, if you, by not earning interest, you're not losing money. You're just not making a profit. But here it's a question you have to pay out of pocket. So you're going to pay more for the Rami Padavis Rambam. It's $42.33, and say you get it for $39.29. So you pay more money. And the basis for such a distinction between not earning money and not having a loss is clear in the Gemara, because the Gemara says, "Nosin kisul nachi." If you, there, there's an issue of if you're carrying your wallet on Shabbos, so you're allowed to hand it over to a non-Jew. So I'm reading Gemara. I'm a Rav Loshano. Well, maybe it's been a Shmoshes. I don't remember. But I'm reading Gemara. I'm a Rav Loshano Kisol. I'm a Mitzia. You can only it's only if it's your purse. But if you find the Mitzia where there's no loss, in other words, in order to prevent the loss, you're allowed to hand it over on Shabbos to a guy. But if it's just a question of preventing of losing out on a gain, you don't. The Chazal weren't makel. So you can Shmamine Sheishchug Bein. There's a difference between losing the base or losing the profit. Well, on Chol Moed, you're allowed to do most malachas are mutter if it's a davar avid. But davar avid means that you're going to have a loss. But if it's a question of, let's say, for example, if you have a wall that's about to collapse, so you're allowed to bring in an expert repairman to fix it because it's a davar avad. But if you need your car in order to drive someplace where you're going to get a big sale on something, and your car is broken and you need to take it into be repaired, you're not allowed to do so, even though you don't consider it a davar avid, because it's a question of minias revach, not making a profit. So he says, so therefore you can make such a distinction. So again, the Ramah smashes that down. He says, Omar Nish, Ela Dvar and Davar Avid Haim. That distinction is a davar avad. It's something that's inappropriate svara. The behedjer Garcia in Perak of a Kavad Avad Izara Pesachim Perak Oshah. So now he quotes a Gemara in Pesachim and in Avod Izara that says as follows. It says Tani Lo Sochel Kol Nevela Lager Asher B'Sherecha Tidneno V'Achola. You know what? This is a complicated Gemara, so I'm going to skip it. But basically, the Gemara says that if you have a choice between giving a nevela to a ger or selling it to a guy, so the Gemara says that you're required to give it to the ger. Because a ger tzedek has a different status than a goy. And the Gemara,
a ger toshev.
So he says, if you go down to about five lines from the end of the bar, he says, v'im kein nomer da atkan lo pligir remer yudel that's really called yos ger kodem avol. Everybody agrees in that Gemara. The bottom line is that a ger comes before you should give them the veil to a ger before you give it to a guy, before you sell it to a guy. Even though there you're actually losing money because the nevela has value, and still you say the reason why you have to give it to the ger is because since it's a mitzvah of ger shebisharecha titnena, so therefore that takes precedence. So who had them need and didan shemuchuiv chodan kaim yana misecha amisecha kodeim. And so therefore, similarly in our case, where the halacha is that the Jew comes first, it's going to apply even though there's a loss. And then he says, "V'af nomer she'af mikan numad." And then he says another svara that he says from here also we could learn that hadam befarish krad demiyana misecha kodeim who afagav the kosel mozel. Had the paskinan parak mishal tzibei rima meri yudah halachik rav yudah kamar hachad akadim yotzar akra yinkim had the kamar miyan misecha marikish mozal gabei. The Gemara says, the Gemara that I didn't read, says that Rabbi Yehuda says that it's a svara, that if you have a choice between giving the nevela to a goy or to a ger, that you don't even need a pasuk to say that you should give it to the ger. So he says, similarly, if there's a choice, if they're equal in price, you wouldn't need a pasuk to say that you should sell it to the Jew. So therefore, why do you need a pasuk? It must be the pasuk is coming to tell me, even if there's a significant difference in price. So the Ramah clearly says that even though they're not the same, you're gonna get a better deal in the non-Jewish store. Still, you have to go to the Jew. Okay, so that's what the Ramah says. So now. Now we're going to take it apart. If you turn to the next page, the Chafetz Chaim has a sefer called Avos Chesed, and where he goes through various mitzvahs that relate to Chesed, and he writes as follows on the bar on the top of the page. It's Sivvav. He says, "Vada'o dehu adinim mechira gam ken itzricha tarash ikshei Yisrael davar malim kar v'nizdam lefan of Yisrael v'kanani yimko Yisrael." If you have something to sell and you have a choice between selling to a Jew or non-Jew, you should sell it to the Jew. And similarly, if you have something to buy, if you want to buy something, you should buy from the Jew. Okay, then he says, similarly, when it comes to rentals, you should go to the Jew for a rental. Now here's the main part. Even if the non-Jew is giving more money, you should still sell it to the Jew. Even if you have to, so he says ma'at yoser. So that's very critical. Those words ma'at yoser. So if you look at the bottom, in the footnote Yud Beis by the bar. So the Chafetz Chaim says as follows: A few miktani mosif. He nira amav b'tshuva simin yud heavy raya l'din zeh mehad above mitzia. He brings the raya from. He basically quotes the. We don't have to read it inside, even though I underlined it. Let's go to the next column. In the middle of the column, after it says ad kan l'shono, about 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 lines down. In the third column, the niyastaiti raya yeshlitchos, he says the raya that the Ramah brings, that the Torah says you should give it to a if you have a choice between giving the veil to a ger or to a guy, you should give it to the ger. So he says it's not you could dispute the raya. The shem beger toshav shehu ani atzrichato hafsid karek deilachioso. They were talking about a ger toshav who's an ani. So there, even though it's going to cost you a significant loss, you're still obligated to support it.
How do we know it's an ani?
I don't know.
Even if it's an ani, there's a mitzvah to lend to a Jew.
No, it's not lending. This is giving
the nevela. The Ramah's raya was from the Gemara in Pesachim that if you, and Avodah Zarah, you have a nevela, you can't eat it. So you could either give it away to a ger or sell it to a guy. So the Gemara says you have to give it to the ger, even though the Ramah says you're taking a loss. You could sell it for $10, and instead you're giving it away for free. So he says, you see, even though there's a loss, you have to do it. So he says, Chofetz Chaim says, not a riot. He would dispute the riot, because maybe it's talking about an ani. So even though you're losing $10, you're kind of mitzvah staka. But how do you know if you're dealing with a Jewish merchant who's not an ani? Now, if he's an ani, so you're mechuyev to give him the business, because he's an ani. But if he's not an ani, so now it's a question of choosing between the two merchants. Who said you have to give it to the Jew when you're losing money? But he says then there's the third raya that the Ramah brings. He says that you wouldn't need a pasuk if they're both equal. If you could buy it for the same price from both sources, so if you hold a Rabbi Yehuda, you don't need a pasuk. So it must be the pasuk is coming to tell me, even though there's a difference in price. So that raya he feels is a good raya. Now, and here he throws in a few words. It must be talking about only if there's a small difference in price. That which the Ramah says that you have to go to the Jewish merchant, it's talking about where there's a small difference in price. But if there's a significant difference in price, it would not be the case. Now he doesn't say how he knows that.
And the remote would seem otherwise, right? The remote would seem even a difference.
Yeah, because
giving versus selling.
Sure, because the Ramah, if the Ramah's raya is from the, exactly, if that's what's been troubling me for the last 2 weeks,
because
if the Ramah's raya is from the case of giving it away to the ger, so if the case where you're giving away to the ger, you're losing all your money.
It has to be small because I'll turn you.
But I know a six is a six.
Yeah, it's six could be $100 depending on how expensive the item. You know, it's a percentage. Yeah.
Oh, you think he means not percentage wise? He means.
Well, we'll see. We'll have to. He doesn't define what's called a davar mu'at. That's part of the complexity. What's called, but it's luchar. Look, I mean the Chafetz Chaim. I can't. I'm not one to argue with the Chafetz Chaim, but it's certainly a question. Where? How does he? How could he explain the Ramah that way? The last Raya, the Ramah, you could argue that the Ramah says you wouldn't need a pasuk if it's equal in price. Mm-hmm. So that you could say that the pasuk comes down even though there's a slight difference in price. But if the Ramah is bringing you Raya,
interest
also.
Is it well known that's not a small
matter? Yeah. Right.
But the Chafetz Chaim actually does throw out the middle proof from the Gel.
You mean to say that maybe he doesn't. The Ramah holds maybe even if there is a significant difference in price, but the Chafetz Chaim is saying once we reject the Ramah's second proof and there's just the third proof left, so then you could argue that it's only davar mu'at. But he doesn't say that. He says akorcha kavanoso. He says the Ramah himself means it. I'll show you later that other Achronim assume that the Ramah, that the Ramah does, according to the Ramah, there's no difference, even if it's a significant difference in price, you're still required to purchase it from the, but Lamaisa, the Chofetz Chaim himself, says that it's only if it's a davar mu'at. And then he I didn't put the bar here, but let's continue reading. He says Vein Hakshas Adivi Ramah Mihadisa Bakosha Mishba Simiklifain Hey Sif Mem Lin Matesranas Uposik Sham Basma. But this is okay, I don't want to mix you up with all my booklets here, but this is the on the last page of the booklet that says Minchas Yitzchak on it. On the last page there's halacha of bar mitzvah. There's all sorts of halachas when you have a land and there's Jews' own property next to your property. There's all sorts of halachas that apply. So one halacha is that if you want to sell it to a non-Jew, so by selling it to a non-Jew, it puts the people at a disadvantage because the non-Jew is not going to listen to Torah law. He's not going to obey Torah law. So the person that's selling it has to guarantee the neighbors that if there's ever a problem with the non-Jew, he'll guarantee the potential loss. Because he should have sold it to a Jew. If he wants to sell it to a non-Jew, then he has to be willing to guarantee that. So in Sif Mem Aleph here, the Mechaber says, "V'medvar memurim," where you have the arrow. When does this apply? If the Jew would be willing to say this, pay the same price as the guy, so if you sell it to the guy, you have to be willing to guarantee that there's be no loss to him. But if the guy is willing to give less, if the guy is willing to pay more, then you're not under any obligations to sell it to the Jew. You can sell it to the guy, and you don't have to make any guarantees. So it says, okay, so that's another. But it says here before that you have a right to sell it to the Jew, to the guy, if he's willing to pay more money. So
if the guy is willing to pay the same price, why is it permitted to sell to the guy?
Yeah, that's also a question. Why? What happened to the halacha that's also a question. So the Chafetz Chaim asked this question. Everybody asked this question. And the fact is that the Ramah doesn't argue on the Mechaber. I found a tshuva in the Bar Ilan website, a sefer called Adnei Paz. He has 30 pages on this topic about when you're allowed to buy from a non-Jew and when you have to buy. So he spends about 15 pages on this issue. If the Ramah didn't disagree with the Mechaber, there seems to be a steer in Ramah, because right. The Tshuva of Ramah says that even if there's a significant hafsid, and from the Mechaber you see that if there's a hafsid, that you're not required to sell it to sell it to the guy, to the Jew, and the Ramah doesn't disagree. So he has all sorts of rise back and forth whether if the Ramah doesn't comment, does that prove that he's in acquiescence with the Mechaber? But anyway, so the Chofetz Chaim raises this question. Even a small amount, it's matters. You can't say that maybe the Shulchan Aruch somewhere there's a significant difference because the smash is even a small amount. So he says, "Yesh lo meinach enami the chiyuv ein alav, aval mitzvah yesh alav." So he says, the Chofetz Chaim says in Taretz that enchanami the mitzvah kisimkaro mitkaram yisach would apply. You really halachically you're obligated to sell it to the Jew, but when the Shulchan Aruch says you're not obligated, it means v'naf kmini l'yin l'fosu b'zeh. It just means that in chayshe mishpat you can't force the issue. The ha mechaber koy amad shakos b'sif mem the hayu misham tinalei. In the earlier sif it says that if the Jew sells it to the guy, so if he's not willing to take achrayis, you put him in chayrim. The kamer doif is el shayaseh. Then he says v'dav the nearly dafke b'davar shem mechel yedua. So here's another point. Another point is, let's say the Jew is overcharging. Let's say the normal price for this item is $2 and the Jew is charging $2.50. So then, then you're certainly not obligated to buy it from the Jew. Because even if the guy was not available, you're not obligated to sell it for less. You don't have to sell it for less, and you don't have to buy it for more, because you're not obligated to do. Okay, that's what the Chofetz Chaim says. So we have two things that emerge in the Chofetz Chaim. Number one is that this halacha doesn't apply if it only applies if it's a small amount, and he doesn't define for us what a small amount means. And then the second thing is he says that it's only if he's not overcharging. So now if you look at the booklet with the Minchas Yitzchak on the front page, he deals with this issue as well, and he says like this. He says, "I will show you the shaila, which is the interesting the way he presents the shaila. It's the one that asks the shaila is Avraham Meir Ar Israel, Av Bezdin Honia. I don't know where that is, and now he's in America, an American. What year was this, Danny?
1959.
Okay."
All right.
Diane Weiss was a rabbi in Manchester, and then afterwards he became the head of the Eidah Charedis. He was still in Manchester at the time. He says, "V'ini l'tshuva she'losu v'davar she'lifnei Eidah Chadash nishtach b'shchunaso chanos gadol echad." It was a large department store. He also shenigrov aloshin anglis hamudavaris v'shem chain store. The hain base miskar anakim, a very large supermarket in Kolmine Sechara Shabalam. They sell everything. Umochrim Eskar. You see, they had department stores in 1959. Umochrim in Manchester. Umochrim Eskar Oseim Bezol built the Arach of Mechir Hachanes Etanim. Right. Everything is cheaper. Miachashem Konim Kamos Yosik Dolami, but the Charosh is Atzon. They buy it in volume so they could afford to sell it for less. Vayide Masig Zemasig Eskar Oseim. So they're able to get it cheaper. Less cheaper than the small stores that buy from a second and third party. They're not Jewish. Chatzin Naren. I guess that means the partnership or the ownership. Af Yehudim, even if there's not Jewish partners, or shareholders. First of all, they're probably not Shomri Mitzvahs. And second of all, it's a small minority. There's a bunch of small Jewish stores. It's like in Borough Park. You have all these little, every corner you have another Jewish store, and then you have ShopRite on McDonald Avenue. And now everybody's running to get it. Jews love a bargain. And also they could buy everything that they need. One stop shopping. They're terribly upset. They're patronizing the non-Jewish stores. So the shaila is, does this halacha apply? So that's how he presents the shaila. So in graphic detail. So what's interesting is, and this is what I mentioned before, he doesn't make any reference to the Chafetz Chaim. He didn't have all the anthologies we had, so he didn't have the same ease that I had to find it. But he assumes, he quotes the Ramah, and he assumes that according to the Ramah, he's not like the Chafetz Chaim. He assumes that even if there's a significant difference in price, because if you look on page 2, by the bar on the right side, he quotes a Tashbatz that basically quotes this halacha that you have to buy from the Jew, and then he says, but there's a difference. There's a difference between the Tashbatz and the Ramah. The Ilu Ramah Kasab Lashon Kishagoy Mosel Tvei. The Ramah says that even if the non-Jew is willing to sell it, is selling it for less, you still have to buy from the Jew. In Kena Mashmos, the Ain Shir B'Dvar Hazala. The language implies that there's no. It doesn't matter how much the price is the differential is. You still have to buy from the Jew. The language Tashbatz could be interpreted to mean that even if there's only a small reduction. So basically, he said what the Chafetz Chaim says that it's only if it's a small amount. That's the position of Tashbatz, but in the language of Ramah, it's only if it's the implication is only a large amount.
Did you address the issue about not arguing with the Mechaber?
Does he address that? I don't remember. He addresses it in the next paragraph. He addresses it. So I just want the Chafetz Chaim, by the way, I meant to explain this before. The Chafetz Chaim doesn't say how he knows. He just assumes that it's talking by a davar mu'at. What's the reason? That it's a small amount. Why does he assume that? What's the reason why he makes that assumption?
He could have somebody who's just
right. So it could be because Engel davar sof. But I think the other reason is why should you be mechuyev to? I mean, why should you have to lose? If it's a difference, a significant difference, why should the Torah require that you should go to the Jew? I mean, if he's an anis, you have to support him. But if he's an usher, why should you? It's irrational to say that you should have to go to the Jew and pay more money out of pocket. Why should I have to spend more money out of pocket instead of going to the goy?
Why should the Torah force you to buy this piece of meat as well as the other piece of meat?
I don't have to buy it all together. Right. If I was required to buy it, so you could say, I don't have to go shopping at all. I don't have to buy a challah this week. I could manage on matzah. So I'm not. So why if I feel like buying it, why do I have to why do I have to spend more money by going to the Jew?
You're not required to eat meat.
But if you do it has to be a kosher piece.
It's not the same. Here it's not trafe.
It's not the same, but the thing that makes it different isn't being made clear.
It's a quality of the mitzvah is sensitivity to the Jew's needs. That's what it's based on. It's not some exercise cost of that you should go to the Jew. It's because you should have a sensitivity to want to help a Jew. If you have a choice, you're supposed to help your own. That's basically what the whole.
Maybe
so, but it's irrational. Why should you be mechuyev to help somebody if you're not mechuyev to spend the money altogether? You don't have to buy the item in the first place. So if I'm buying it, why am I mechuyev to help him and give him and get, I'm it's out of pocket expense that I'm helping him with.
But that's exactly the wording. When you come to buy, you don't have.
I understand
buy,
that's
you
what
to
it,
buy.
If it's a small amount, it's not doing its stock. It's an extra 8 nickels. It's not a difference.
Oh, it's not
the Jew. But if it's an extra couple it's dollars, a, he's not.
See the way
him.
I
he's not sensitive
the way people. I hear it is, it's not even an issue with stock. If it's a small amount, so then the pshat is. This is how I understand the Chofetz Chaim. If it's a small amount, so then, to me, it really, it's not relevant. If I spend an extra 50 cents, it's irrelevant. So if it's irrelevant, so then the Torah says that you should have the sensitivity to patronize the Jewish store. Let him get the profit. It's not only the 50 cents that he's getting, he's getting the profit. He's getting the profit. So if it's an insignificant difference to me, so then right. But it, once it becomes a significant difference, so I have the option not to go shopping altogether. Yeah, he's going to deal with that. He's going to say that if the Jew is overcharging, that Chofetz Chaim also said that if the Jew is overcharging, you're not mechuyev to buy.
But that's interesting. Maybe you change that. That's why there's a great
overcharging. Because interestingly,
oh no, it's usually
six.
No. Oh no, it has to do with the market, normal market.
I don't really understand. They change the market price.
That's true. That's hard. What is the market price?
Right.
That's hard to.
Right. In those days, you knew how much bananas were, how much they were worth. That's
Jewish
it.
Merchant.
But did you also say there's certain things that are not subject to it now.
As opposed to a good
right. Effort? Right.
I don't get that part of it.
If the Jew
business, does it matter to who you're selling your product?
No. If the item's not available, you have the only camera. And you have two customers, and they both want it. So then you're required to sell it to. You're right. If you can buy it someplace else, so it doesn't make a difference.
See, I don't understand the loss of losing principal versus losing an opportunity to gain. When you buy something, you're losing principal. You're trading principal for something else. So if in fact you're getting the same thing from two people, and one person is charging you more. Then you are losing principal in that purchase, right?
That's what Rama said. Rama said it is losing principal. So Rama said that even though you're losing, principal, Rama said you're obligated to do it. And that's what I'm saying that the Chofetz Chaim held that that's it's logical.
Yeah, but
why should you be?
Examples were the other way around. You're not gaining. In other words, you're not getting money for your novella, or you're not getting ribbis. Those are all cases where.
No, in the veil, you're losing. You're losing. Because the veil is worth money. And by giving it away, you have a loss. It has an inherent value than the veil. And now you're giving it away as a freebie.
You give to the dog. The veil is.
All right. Let me show you what he says now. So he says in the next paragraph, he says, Amnam afufizah adayin yesh ayin, where I have the bar. Adayin yesh ayin, the bottom left. Kamashir hefse bezeh. Even if you to yiftar alzemi luknos mi Yisrael, what is the shir? If you number the rak b'shir has some ruben nifter b'zeh. In other words, if you follow the position of Ramah, that it has to be a significant that even if there's a significant difference in price, but at some point you're obviously in amuchli if the Jew is charging $1,000 more, so he says at what point is the cutoff point? So he says maybe it's if it's a very significant loss, but then he says also you know buying over a posting when a share have some ruba and they're posting when you have a heter the yisrovim chavin on igashiv yisrovim that's in a buser shdus meyakaren. So he says there's different ways to in halacha. When we talk about hefsid meruba, a large hefsid, so in iser v'heter, and as if there's sometimes let's say pots and pan issues, so if it's or kashrus issues, so when there's, so he leaves it sort of unresolved. What's the shear of hefsid meruba? Then on the next page 3, he makes the point that somebody here made before that if the Jew is over, he says by the borrower, I have. If the Jew is overcharging by more than ono, which is a sixth, then you're definitely not required to buy from the Jewish store. Okay, I want to show you the last paragraph where he says something significant, and he says, this is a very important point. He says, I will close him in the gate, Akdam Yisrael, may I cry Adam Yisrael. This whole discussion is only when you, on the left column, the bar, is only when you're dealing with the requirement to purchase from a Jewish store based on Amisach. But where it's a question of survival for the store, because the fact is, where do Jewish stores survive from? They survive from the local community. So shuv yeshbaz emishum divrei Torah kohenim acherim. Then there's a different Torah kohenim that applies. The isa al pasuk yomach richicho mata yado imach. When your brother is poor and he's falling, altani cheil sheidva. There's a you have to support him. He shouldn't collapse. So lemazed domel. If a donkey is collapsing while he's still standing, you could lift up the burden. But if you try to get a donkey off the floor, even five people can't do it. So there's a mitzvah exactable that you have to help a person stay in business before he collapses. The mitzvah of supporting people or helping people stay in business is even if it means that you're going to lose money. It's like the mitzvah stalker. Okay, the rest we don't have to see. But basically, that he says that's always an important factor to take into consideration. What the impact of not, if you're not going to patronize the Jewish store in town or the Jewish stores, then they're going to go out of business. So there's a separate mitzvah. You have to take that into consideration as a separate concern. If you go now to here, we don't have so much time. Let me show you on page 6. Here's a tshuva from Maram Shik. The Maram Shik says, Masha Shal, Masha Darshul Chazal, Betaras Konim, Beparshas Bahar, Apostle Vichy, Simcha Mimcha, Misachel, Hakni Misrael, the Kosish Midol, Shirash, Afihu, who ate till Hagoy Bezal. The Taurus Kohen says that you have to buy from the Jew even if the Jew charging more. If your members came in Gametagar Kohen Lishtaka Adin came, what would be if you're in business? Does this apply to a businessman as well? The Gamim in Eitz Yisrael Utirchi Yosi Mechuv Achdim Yisrael. And furthermore, if it's a bigger tircha to buy from the Jew, do you have to buy from the Jew? So he quotes the Ramah, and then if you turn to the next page, he basically says, if you're a businessman, these rules don't apply, because the whole idea of being in business is to make money. So it's unfair to burden a businessman. He's not mechuyev to pay more money, and he brings a raya. But I wanted to show you the last paragraph, which I thought was very beautiful. He says, he says, even though it's true that a businessman could buy at the cheapest price, but if it's a question simply of tircha, that the Jewish merchant is 5 miles away and the non-Jewish store is around the corner, so he says, that would not be a valid reason to dismiss the requirement of the Torah's Kohanim to buy from the Jew. Came into Yado Yava Hanah Yisrael, because since by buying from the Jew you're giving him Hanah, v'chimilsa zuchesu lehanos l'achros es Yisrael, is it a small thing to give Hanah to a Jew? If you lose an aveda and a poor person finds it, So the pasuk says that you'll be blessed. The way the Chazal interpreted it, you'll be blessed, even though you didn't give him the money intentionally, but he found it. It's certainly over here where you're not even losing anything. It's just the question of tircha. How could a person not want to expend the tircha? Okay, so anyway, so that's what he says, that if it's just a question of tircha, you definitely should expend the extra tircha. As far as the basic shayla about what about if there's a if there's a significant hefsid, which we, so the I'll show you a tshuva from, there's a few things I wanted to show you, but we won't have so much time. Look at the booklet that has tshuvas and haggas on the front page, the third booklet. He says, this is from Rishternbach. Could you buy from a Jew, from a non-Jewish store?
The other one,
yeah. So he says, So he quotes this halacha that you're required to buy from a Jew. But Shuvas Rama, maybe Shikar Achidishu Shafil Meitzel Akum Bezol Gamkin also Luknos Menel Al Yiknav Yisrael Afshit Tzar Hafsim Yishlo Azeh. Venir Dafil Tzar Hosev Adshtus. So he interprets the Rama not like the Chafetz Chaim, and he doesn't quote the Chafetz Chaim. But he says the Rama means even up to 1/6, you're required to pay more for the item. Vayin Kein Zeh B'Shalos Shuvas Adshpatz. V'Afshel Ahuv Kein B'Shulchan Aruch. The truth is, many of the Sfarim, I didn't have a chance to show you, but this halacha is left out of Shulchan Aruch. It's a pella. But the halacha that you're supposed to buy from a Jew, it's not brought down in the Rambam, it's not brought down in the Torah, it's not brought down in the Shulchan Aruch. If it's a mitzvah saseh, or if it's a drasha that Chazal made anyway, so why isn't it quoted any place? Why is it left out? It's a pella. And then he says, And he says, and he also never heard that people are medactic on that, that they should go. If anything, the Jews always look to buy the cheapest price.
That's why it's not
Shulchan. Everybody wants to buy the cheapest. We never heard that somebody's going to pay 1/6 more, which is what, 13%? 16%. He says it could be that the mitzvah is only where the person's struggling to earn a livelihood, but where he has parnasa, then so he wants to make money. You want to save money. He wants to make money. So then you're not mechuyev to purchase from him. Why does he have to get rich on your back for who yafsit? Which is in line, even though he doesn't quote the Chafetz Chaim, but it's in line. They end up at the same place. The Chafetz Chaim says it's only if it's a very small differential, and he's saying. So the Chafetz Chaim understands that the pasuk is talking that there's only a small differential. He's saying that he understands the Ramah the way we said that the Ramah seems to be saying that even if there's a significant difference, but he's saying the Ramah is only talking about a case where he's an ani. The truth is, it's difficult to say that, because if he's an ani, then you don't need a pasuk. Then there's a mitzvah of tzedakah. So why should this be? Tzedakah doesn't have to be outright. You can be kind of mitzvah tzedakah by paying a little bit more. It's obviously tzedakah. So we're. Well, he's saying that the Ramah is talking where he is an ani. That's what he wants to say. The whole halacha. That's what Sternbach wants to say. That this halacha that you have to be kona from a Jew is only where he's an ani.
Was the Maran Padua an ani?
No, but he probably would have been wiped out from this.
Ramah was talking about this case of this guy.
I don't know. Maybe he wasn't on it.
He could have been wiped out.
He probably would have been wiped out.
But how could he see this in the pasuk? I mean, all this is derives from the pasuk and Taras.
Yeah, where do you see in the pasuk a remez to this that we're talking about an ani?
I can see logically.
I think it because he's driving it from the svara. He's saying the same svara that I was saying before. Why? I have money. I need money, and he needs money. Right. Why do I have to spend an extra $10 so that he can have my extra $10? It's totally logical. Why should I have to give?
So the pasuk says, "Okay, when you need something from him,
I understand."
When
but
you
it
need something from you.
I know, but why do we have to play games? Why? Why should I have to give him money and he'll give me back money?
The theory is that, as you said before, in the Mecca, he's got profit also. So you by you paying a dollar more.
So he's making right. So I'm losing $10, and he's making $40. So therefore, okay. But he still feels it's not even if it's not a balance.
But it's not Zen.
He still feels it's illogical to say that if he's an usher and I'm an usher, why do I have to? So he says, "Valkein ein makpin luktos etzel el afil etzel nachim bezul yosher vasi shapar." But posim sasul lechul was that. He says, "The fact is, the posim don't make that distinction." V'yeshit starach it star mal shor seino ramal makpinu hayom luktos misham shabbos dafka afil melchir etzel shava v'sharachinis. He says, "For sure, when it's equal in price, you for sure should buy from the Jew." Torah says that you should buy from the Jew. The Chazonish was makpid to only buy from a Shomer Shabbos. When he went to fill a prescription at a drugstore, if you have a Shomer Shabbos drugstore in Borough Park, and a non-Shomer Shabbos, so you have to go to Shomer Shabbos drugstore. At least that's what Chazonish did. Even though it was extra tircha, that's what we saw in the Maram Shik. What's the shear? Maram Shik said that of course you should be matriach, whether it's a small thing to give hanah to a Jew, it's a big thing. But he says, so what's the shear? To what extent? Maybe it means you have to, if it's within extra 18 minutes, you have to go to the Agabi Isab, Betar of Yosef, Zanikra Tirchem Ruba, Gam Khan, Chaiwel Chashir Mil. Maybe here also you have to go, well, Billy's here, we could tell us whether it's 18 minutes.
No, 2,000 Yamas.
But Lamaisa, we say the shear meal is 18 minutes. Mikolkum is starving the Chivas, the Hainu, the Afka, Lukas, Bekvia, Soknia, Chad Pomis, Gedol, Chashua, Ava, Kroy, Dava, Muach, and Chayv, Hakbin, Etz, Shamash, Shazavi. He says, and maybe, he says, even if you say that that's true, that you're Mchiv to Matriach, maybe that's only on a regular basis, but if you happen to be in the supermarket and you need something, you're not Mchiv to go drive your car into another store. So he quotes himself in another tshuva in a later volume. It's a pella how he could quote a later volume. How can he quote Chelik Beis from Chelik Aleph? I guess because when he printed it, he already had both volumes.
Question is like this: let's say you have in the town that somebody from a different town is selling there, he has a store there. Is there any special precedent that you give it first to people who live in your community before you?
Now, if you have both
Shomer Shabbos.
I didn't see any such halacha, but that's something that's a svara that just like your aniya yircha called mim. So. Right. In fact, I asked Rabbi Belsky, I discussed with him what is the shear for this, and he made that point. He said that if it's I didn't even ask him, but he said if you have a local merchant, it's the same point that the Minchas Yitzchak made, that the community needs to support the local merchants, because if they don't, you won't have the Jewish stores, and it's a benefit to the community. Certainly, if it's there's a difference here between if it's a uniquely Jewish store like a Jewish bakery or a Jewish butcher shop. Certainly, there's an importance to support the Jewish store. But even if it's not a uniquely Jewish store, it just happens to be a Jewish person running a hardware store. If you could support a local person, that would take precedence over somebody out of the area. So then he says, look at the tshuva on page 2. He says Rashi. Okay, he quotes the.
When there's shailas about shchita, that if they used to shech from somewhere else,
they couldn't bring into town. Only the local shchitas, right? So here in the first paragraph, it's getting late. In the first paragraph, he quotes the Ramah, and then in the second paragraph, he quotes his earlier tshuva. He says, "V'achshav yanti old pam binyan v'nei she'elu she'gilu yadi v'risi she'divir Ramah she'chayv v'gnu zeitzul b'yokav v'leitzanachi b'zol einu mochach klal v'dvarav tumum she'keneged tosus v'arash v'shulchan arach she'b'machal akim she'esh bar metzad yisrael v'sham t'lei rakim nosin yisrael v'akim nosin yosim v'mutter v'adim v'mekachim akim b'zul mutter." He says that the Ramah is contradicted by the Halacha of Shulchan Aruch. So again, he obviously didn't see the Chafetz Chaim, but that was the kash the Chafetz Chaim asked the Ramah. And then he quotes the Sefer Mishpat Shalom, who is the author of Mishpat Shalom was Shalom Shadron. I guess it was the grandfather of the Magid from Yerushalayim, Shalom Shadron. I have it here, but we're not going to have time to, if you want to look at it later, you could. I have it in the third booklet, where he asked the same question, that it's a stira, that the Shulchan Aruch contradicts the Ramah. So he says, if it's equal in price, you definitely have to buy by the Jew. The requirement of Amisach is only if he's knowing in a religious fashion. And here again, he raises the question, what's the shear? If on the other side of town there's a Jewish owned store, you have to go there. The Chazon Ish was careful to do that, but we don't know for sure that was a halacha. Well, cover came Ikar Adin. So then in the next paragraph, he says, he says the Ramah is mashma that even if it's more expensive, and he would assume that it's up to 1/6, but he says you can be makel on that because the Ramah is contradicted by Shulchan Aruch. He says that you're only required to travel to buy it at from the Jewish store if it's an expensive item, and if you would be able to save a significant amount, then you would have traveled to do so. But if it's a cheap item, you're not mechuyev to travel. And then the next part he says, Misvara Amina, the Dasar Amash, Mikai Chaydin, Mechuyev, Vata Mamma, Luktas Vyoker, Hine, Hachi, Luknes Yisrael, Medina, Vididon, Shein, Chai, Mechi, Agam, the Nirshikar, Drasha, Vitaraskam, Remez, Bikruak, Amida Tova, Kishar, Midas Tovas. He says, he suggests that maybe, I mean, this is what the Acharonim said, that the reason why the Shulchan Aruch doesn't bring this halacha is because it could be it's not even a chiv. It's only a midah tova. The Torah is, it's a drasha the Chazal made. Rak mezum is b'tara, the Rebbeinu says, Rak midah tova, it's a shabbat hushma the Shulchan Aruch. Kishem sheshmita the Shulchan Aruch. Okay, just to summarize, the thing is like this. There's a whole bunch of things that are questionable about this halacha. First of all, it's not brought down in Shulchan Aruch. So you could argue that if it's not brought down in Shulchan Aruch, it could be that the whole thing is immediate Torah, and the Malbim seems to say that the Torah says a nice thing to do, but it's not a requirement. Secondly, even if you accept that it's a chiyuv, it's not clear what the shear is. The Ramah in the tshuva makes it clear that even if there's a difference in price, you're mechuyev to buy from the Jew. But the Ramah is contradicted by the Shulchan Aruch, by the din of Bar Metzra. So there's an unresolved contradiction between the Shulchan Aruch and the Ramah. Furthermore, not everybody agrees with the Ramah, because we didn't get to see, but there's a number of Acharonim that argue with the Ramah for various reasons. And then thirdly, even if you accept the position of Ramah, it's not clear how much the Ramah meant that there's a price differential. And we saw that the Chafetz Chaim himself says it's only if it's a small difference, not a significant difference. So the bottom line to me would seem to be that you could certainly rely on the Chafetz Chaim, who says, as a Dara Poshet, that if there's a significant, since it's not even clear that there is such an obligation, if there's a significant cost differential, you're not mechuyev to go to, you don't have to buy it in a, it's only if it's a small amount where it really doesn't, and what's called a small amount, it really depends on a person. If you're struggling to make Aaron's meat and every penny counts, so then, even a dollar could be a significant difference. If you're more well-to-do and, a dollar or two doesn't make any difference to you, so then that would be considered a davar muad. It's not, you can't, give an objective definition of what a davar muad is.
Could you really say that it depends? Just a sixth, because that seems to be the,
I'm saying a shtus, the Chafetz Chaim definitely didn't hold a shtus. The Chafetz Chaim rejected the idea of a shtus. But beyond all that is the fact that one has to be sensitive to the importance of supporting the local merchants. Danny put out a beautiful booklet with all the local merchants that should print it again so we can have it, because there should be that sensitivity that whenever you can to support the local merchants. And because everybody's struggling to stay in business. That's the way it is, especially in these economic times.
Yeah.
Especially in the computer business, and especially Chavir from our shir should be supported. Okay.
Oh, yeah.